back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we get to answer your questions. And we appreciate very much you sending questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Layla Mutin is our Hoffman Center nutritionist. We work together on a daily basis. And I might mention that she's also available for consultations. Some of our listeners aren't in the New York area. They won't have an opportunity to easily visit the Hoffman Center, although we welcome out-of-town visitors. And for those of you who wish to get a second nutritional opinion, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and you can consult with Layla via email or via the phone to get your nutritional issues sorted out. Check out drhoffman.com for information on how to do that, or HoffmanCenter.com as well. That being said, what's our next question?
Okay, we've got an email from Jay. Mm-hmm. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I am a healthy, fit 59-year-old woman with no health concerns. I eat a very clean diet and practice the Hoffman Center way of living. How do you like that, Dr. Hoffman?
Wow, that's great.
It's a way of living.
It's a way of living.
She says, yeah.
Do I get like a religious exemption or something? I can have like a religious foundation.
We should look into that.
Exactly. It's the Hoffman way.
The Hoffman way. Jay says, I take 60 milligrams of Armour Thyroid daily.
Okay.
I also take several supplements a day, but I'd like to streamline it down to a maximum of 10 supplements daily. So
Okay. Would
you please advise on what would be the 10 or so beneficial supplements
right.
to take for a healthy woman?
That's a great question, but you know what that is? That's a nutritional consult at the Hoffman Center.
It is.
Okay?
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
I mean, that's what people come for. I mean, we do see people who come with really challenging health problems. I saw a woman with very poorly controlled diabetes the other day. I saw a woman yesterday who's just inexplicably seriously fatigued. You know, we do see patients who have cancer or who are recovering from cancer. They want the cancer to come back. But you don't have to be 4-plus sick to have a consultation with a nutritionally oriented physician like me. You can bring a question like that to the doctor's office for analysis. So, you know, how would we approach a patient who says, look, I'm essentially healthy. I'm on thyroid.
I'm here for optimization.
Yes.
Right.
So what would you do? I mean, this might be a typical patient who might come to see you.
Who might come to see me. Right.
What would be?
Yeah. I mean, I would want to investigate the regular, you know, the blood test, the metabolic panel, you know, the CBC.
Right.
I would investigate if they had any concerns or issues at all. I would want to know their previous health history, all of that. I'd want to see the supplements
Family history.
I'd want to know what supplements they're taking and what they're taking them for.
Mm-hmm.
I would to know the source of the hypothyroid. Is it autoimmune like Hashimoto's, or is it your run-of-the-mill hypothyroid? I shouldn't call it run-of-the-mill.
Right.
But and see where they want to optimize, where exactly they want to optimize.
Are there weight concerns, gut
issues, possible food allergies, possibly high cortisol, adrenal function is very closely tied with thyroid function, all of those things.
And, you know, so the other thing is, you know, what are some ways that a 59-year-old woman can go astray? Well, one is that's a kind of a crucial age at which women become at risk for cardiovascular disease. So we might do a comprehensive cardiovascular workup, you know, doing the blood tests that determine risk. We might even do a glucose tolerance test with insulin or a hemoglobin A1C, probably both of those, to see if there's insulin resistance. That would be important. We would also maybe, if we suspect they're at high risk, maybe do an EBT heart scan to see if plaque is beginning to form. Because what's the point of taking a bunch of supplements to lower cholesterol or to prevent plaque if there's no plaque to begin with? You know, we wouldn't go full court press on that. We would maybe
oxidized LDL, which a lot of doctors don't do. And Dr. Hoffman, I'm still, in this day and age, still very surprised that doctors aren't checking homocysteine.
Yep.
Especially as people become older.
Because
that's such an independent risk factor for stroke, cardiovascular disease, dementia, bone demineralization. A lot of people don't know. So homocysteine is something I always look at in a healthy woman. At any age.
Bone demineralization, what we might look at is a DEXA scan, you know, because there are wonderful natural ways to support bone if there's any concern of about osteopenia or osteoporosis. So that would entail other supplements. So, you know, we could go on and on about the investigation. We maybe measure certainly magnesium, vitamin D, using, you know, a more precise test for magnesium than is ordinarily done. And see if you're absorbing the magnesium you're taking. Surely if you're, you know, a follower of this program, you're likely to take magnesium. But you'd be surprised, and you see this too, Layla, how many people who take magnesium don't really absorb it properly.
That's true.
And, you know, other investigations might include, you know, looking at the gut, looking at whether there's a leaky gut, or looking whether there's dysbiosis intestinally, or if there are digestive complaints, SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And so, but let's get to the question. I mean, I'll try, we'll try and answer the question as best we can. What are some of the important things to take when you're 59? A good multi, like our foundation formula. I think people at 59 should begin taking coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol, for because that's the age at which production of those things decline. We might want to do an adrenal panel to see if there's adrenal stress. Most people we're seeing here in New York are subject to some degree of adrenal stress, and we might support their adrenals with an adaptogen. The product that we like to use is a combination product called Adaptinol. It's available through doctors, so you can't get it usually, you know, at health food stores, but you can obtain it through drhoffman.com. PhytoGuard is a good general supplement for general prevention. It has the benefits of resveratrol and the cabbage family vegetables and lycopene and EGCG from green tea and quercetin and pomegranate extract. These are some of the that's something that I think is a good general supplement for most people to take if they want to cover a lot of bases. Some vitamin D, perhaps 2,000, you know, conservatively, and maybe more if your D levels are low. And the D is another thing to check, because even with you know, modest supplementation, 1,000 or 2,000, some people fall short.
That's so, true.
So this
that's
is by
check level,
So this is by way of, you know, sharing with you how, you know, we go about evaluating this type of patient. So no disrespect, we're not trying to blow you off here, but it's a the question is fairly generic. And yeah, we could give you generic advice, you know, take this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, call us in 10 years. Call us in 10 years and see if it works out.
Right. But Jay has a unique biochemistry, just as you do, just as I do, and everybody else who's listening out there. And that's what needs to be assessed. That's what needs to be looked at, and the prescription needs to be accordingly. It's the diet, it's the supplementation, it's even the exercise prescription based on what's going on.
We also are beginning to have new genetic tests which reveal, for example, the need for more B vitamins. So patients with problems with MTHFR pathways, you know, they have 677 or 1298 mutations. We'll pick that up, and then we'll address that with the right kind of supplementation.
Right, right. Jay, thank you for that very thoughtful question. And congratulations for being so proactive.
Yes, and let's not forget a probiotic, because I think that a probiotic is you know, useful for virtually anyone. But we have a wide assortment of probiotics. It kind of depends on what your issues are. Now we can sort of target the type of probiotic to your particular situation.
All right. Thank you, Jay. We've got an email from Paul. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Can you please give me your take on cow's milk and also baby formula with the A2 protein? On the brand of cow's milk that I purchased for myself with A2, it argues that A1 is the protein that argues that is easier to digest. A2 is easier than A1 to digest, and the same is true of the baby formula. Is this a whole lot of hype, or is there any truth to it? Well, let me give you a shorter answer, Paul. There is a similarity between the two types of protein, and in cow dairy, there are six types of protein, four casein comprising 80%, and two are whey. And within the casein category, the A1 beta casein is most commonly present in American cows. These are the Holstein cows, but It's thought to represent a mutated form of the protein, which is only 5,000 years old. And, you know, Dr. Hoffman, this may explain why casein, especially cow's milk casein, mm-hmm. can be so problematic, especially in autoimmunity.
Right.
Now, casomorphin, it's an opiate-stimulating compound. It's released from that A1 beta casein. The A2
but not
beta
the
casein,
A2? No, the A1,
is,
but not the A2.
A1, which is a problem. Mm-hmm. And
so
the A2 protein milk.
So A1 is potentially bad, but A2
yeah.
is preferable, according to their
It's preferable.
Pitch.
And the A2 beta casein is found in the milk of sheep, goats, and Jersey cows, which is very, very interesting. So the A1 protein is said to be a mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only about 5,000 years old, so it could be. The A2 is said to be more easily digested, and maybe that's why it's in some baby formulas.
Okay, so I'm
as well.
As you described this, I'm looking it up here, and
yeah.
There is a marketing push to mm-hmm. get this sort of enhanced milk adopted by consumers, and it's. A2 milk is licensed and marketed by the A2 Milk Company and sold mostly in Australia, New Zealand, China, United States, and United
yeah.
Kingdom. It's probably, you know, more expensive than generic milk, and it purports to have some advantages. So are we convinced that this is, you know, a recommendation that we want people to follow?
Not or necessarily.
Just, okay. Cause
not necessarily, yeah.
I think what we're dealing with is we're dealing with some plausible claims. But mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure that I'm satisfied with the science behind this
right.
yet. I mean, it certainly provides a marketing advantage to companies mm-hmm. that advertise A2 milk.
Mm-hmm.
But is it worth the additional cost? And then the other question is, you know, perhaps for people who find milk problematic, the paleo diet, for example, there's no milk, so I haven't had any dairy products since Christmas
right.
because
and
I'm
people with milk protein allergies should avoid any kind of milk.
Mm-hmm.
The A2 milk is not necessarily going to be better for them, and I think the best way to really tell if this is hype or it's not hype is really not try one and the other and see if you feel better, because you know there's also going to be the power of suggestion. You know, what
right.
you expect the outcome to be that the A2 you may feel better on. It needs to be randomized, double-blinded, all of that kind of thing to see if it's real or if it's hype.
I might recommend to people, I'm looking here at an article that explains this. It's called You're Drinking the Wrong Kind of Milk. It's in Mother Jones Magazine. And you know, I have to say that Mother Jones Magazine is a little bit of a bomb thrower magazine, you know, in terms of some of the stuff that they write. So that in this article that I'm scanning here, it says more than 100 studies suggest links between the A1 protein and a whole range of health conditions, everything from heart disease to diabetes to autism.
Oh, boy.
Although, and they write a little further down, they write, though the evidence is far from conclusive. Okay, so anyway, you know, you're right in what you said. The cow's milk, I mean, sheep's milk and goat's milk have less of this.
Yeah, and more A2, right.
Right.
So kind of makes you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess as they look more into the research, you know, apart from this whole big marketing push,
mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see what's found out.
It's on our radar screen, and this is a story that we promised to keep tabs on for you
mm-hmm.
and cover. Okay, we have time for another question.
Yeah. Let's see here. We've got a question from Kurt. I have a tentative diagnosis for orthostatic tremors. He says primary orthostatic tremors. I'm refusing medication. I'm skeptical about the evaluation. I'm in my 60s. I've had lumbar brain cervical MRI. I don't know what to make of this.
Okay. Well, as I, through the miracle of the internet, and I've got my iPad open in front of me, it says here that, quote, orthostatic tremor, OT,
mm-hmm.
is a rare syndrome. I'm glad to hear it's a rare syndrome, because when I heard it, I said, what the heck is that? Because I know what an orthostatic problem is, because orthostatic means when you change position, something changes. So you can have POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. That's pretty common. I'm very aware of that, is that some people, they feel weak and woozy with position change, and their heart's racing from periodically. And, you know, it's a pretty common form of dysautonomia, which means that the autonomic nervous system, which regulates blood pressure and regulates, you know, whether you're in sympathetic or parasympathetic mode, is out of kilter. And we actually did a great interview with the head of Dysautonomia International recently. Dysautonomia is probably very common to some degree or another among people who have these weird symptoms. So this is, I guess, a subclass of dysautonomia, orthostatic tremor. It is a rare syndrome characterized by unsteadiness on standing due to a high-frequency tremor involving the legs. Symptoms usually start in the sixth decade. Okay.
Huh.
Now, this is first of all, it's a rare disorder, so probably the research on this is not very robust. There are scientific articles on it. It, you know, like many conditions, tremulousness, unsteadiness, it develops later in life. So they say it can be a feature of Parkinson's disease. It can be a harbinger of Parkinson's disease, or it can develop after Parkinson's disease has been established. So it suggests that it may be something to do with dopamine in the brain, but it doesn't respond that well to the traditional treatments for Parkinson's disease. And sometimes they use Klonopin for it, and sometimes they use Neurontin for it, which is a nerve active thing. And, you know, I got to say, I don't know that there's a specific nutritional correlate to that. But if I were to see a patient with that condition, I might explore the possibility they have some underlying, you know, gluten sensitivity can cause neurological problems, any type of brain problem. Yeah. We want to support the brain with things like pycnogenol and omega-3 fatty acids. You know, just maybe even provide a, you know, some sort of paleo or autoimmune protocol to that kind of patient and see if they improve. Coenzyme Q10, you know, things that sort of energize parts of the brain, they might be helpful.
Wow. So it's that rare. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear it was rare, because I got to say that, you know, I'm not, you know, I used to get upset when I didn't know that, you know, certain people would bring up conditions. I never heard of it. But then I realized that the medicine is so vast that, you know, they say that you don't have to learn everything in medical school, but you really should learn how to look everything up. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Kurt, we hope you feel better soon or get to the bottom of it. You should consider visiting an integrative physician.
Yeah, to get an integrative perspective, although I cannot guarantee that there is an integrative perspective on this condition. I know there is an integrative perspective on Parkinson's disease, but this is not Parkinson's disease. This is another movement disorder. It seems to have autonomic characteristics because it's positional. You know, it has to do with position change. And autonomic conditions are sometimes hard to address. They're challenging.
Yeah.
What I do suggest is that this person get in touch with Dysautonomia International, okay? They've got a website, and they, you know, I think they do offer information and support to people with these unusual conditions. Because dysautonomia is not just one condition. It's sort of a grab bag of multiple conditions that fit under the rubric of dysautonomia. And there might be a fit here. And there might be some guidance that they can provide about the latest research or the latest strategies that can be effective for this problem. Okay? That I would suggest.
Thank you, Kurt. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, well, that just about sums it up for today's edition of Q&A with Layla. I think we covered a lot of ground. And once again, I want to thank you listeners, because you're listening via podcast, and you are among the 2 million who have downloaded Intelligent Medicine. And we're very happy that you've decided to make Intelligent Medicine your choice for reliable health and nutrition information. And we're very committed, both Layla and I, to maintain our high standards and providing you with news that you can use, information that you find both interesting and germane to your particular lives.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
And thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.